Okay, continuing in the Bavavi, on page Kuf Nun Hey, and yesterday after doing a whopping one paragraph, but there was a lot of good deep insight that I think that came out of it. So we're continuing with this idea of the idea of returning all your powers back to Hashem in your times of trouble. And what's the pshat of Shuvu Banim Shovavim? Return your children, you backsliding children. So, what we're asking Hashem to help us to get the clarity that's necessary to make the right decisions and to not live in the world of fantasy. And that's how being close to Hashem will get that accomplished. So now, we continue with a famous Chazal. Imein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ozro. Chazal say, if Hashem doesn't help a person out, Eini Yochalo, he's not able to pull it off. Now, this is the second sentence after the first sentence, which is what? B'chol yayim, every day the Yetzer comes to kill a person. That's the first sentence. And if Hashem doesn't help you, then you're not able to defeat your Yetzer. He'll kill you. So now what does it mean, Ozro? If Hashem doesn't help him. Meaning to say, Es oso kolach, shu nosan lorem, that very strength that a person gives to a person. Hulokeach oso chazora l'shorosho, he takes it back to its root. And when Hashem takes it back, memele yochol ha'odom lamod b'mochama mul ha'yetzor, then Hashem, consequently, a person is able to fight his battle against the Yetzer. Okay, that's the help that Hashem can give the person. Right? In other words, this koach of making mistakes, this koach of distorting things, etc., etc. So the only way Hashem can help you is Hashem will take away your Yetzirahs. Hashem will take away the Yetzirah is what's developing this wrong idea of what to do. That's what's going on. The Yetzirah is trying to kill you. The Yetzirah is telling you to get upset and angry and this and take revenge and blah, 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 blah. And it's giving you all these feelings. But Hashem doesn't help you. How? That is the very thing that Hashem gave you. So the way he's going to help, he's going to take it back. He's going to take it back. And then you'll be able to get it done. Then you'll be able to survive. You'll pass it. Because Hashem will take it away from you. Okay. So now, he gets into the Shema for the balance of this parak and explains how this is all part and parcel of the three most important lines of the Shema. Clauses of the Shema. It says, "Va'avta Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavecha u'v'chol nafshecha v'chol maidecha." Should love Hashem with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your resources. So let's see what this means. We know v'ahavta. The word v'ahavta comes from the root ahava, which is higiba gamatria echad, which is the gamatria of echad, one. Okay, it's 13. It's that same gamatria. And Yehudi tzarech levas Hashem. So what does it mean that a person should love Hashem with all his heart? So what it really means with your heart is where your desires and feelings are. So it's b'chol machshavei sechel, with all your thoughts. So what does that mean? So bearing in mind that love means being at one. Love means being at one with the object of your love. And you have to be at one with all your thoughts. So it means very simply, klemer shekol machshavei sov yiyu echad im abori olam. All your thoughts should be at one with Hashem. Any thought he has, he ties it to the Rabbi Nishalom. Which means, who yodea, he understands, that if he has any thoughts that are wrong, good or bad, really for that matter, they all come from Hashem, because he's at one with Hashem. Umimakom, Shemishtalchim l'sham choshim, and from the place where they're sent from, you send them back. So here's what love really means. Love means to constantly be in touch. Because if you're at one with Hashem, so you know, in other words, if you're at one with Hashem, so why are you trying to fight this battle by yourself? You're struggling with the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah is convincing you that ridiculous things are true, which they aren't. And you're believing in these things. And you're struggling alone. and when you're struggling alone, you're doomed to fail. Now, if you love Hashem, meaning you're at one with Hashem, so you know you share your problems with Him and say, Hashem, I can't deal with this one. I don't know how to deal with it. I don't know what's true. I don't know what's not true. Hashem, you know, this is a very strong force I'm dealing with, so please take it back. And Hashem says, sure thing. Just waiting for you to ask. Right? So that's being at one with your thoughts. V'chal nafshecha, with all your soul. So what did our rabbis tell us? Darshu Chazal. Afilu hu noitel es nafshecha. Even Hashem takes your soul. Klomar, hu lokeach es hanefesh shelcha elav. He takes your soul back to Him. So, and therefore, hanefesh kshura uma uchadas in bari olam, your soul is tied and at one with Hashem to the extent, v'ramuchan lahachzir oso lamatzav shalachtos b'chayom, and a person is prepared to return it back to that status of unity every day. So the simple meaning we have is that you're willing to die for Hashem. That's b'chol nafshach, afilu naitolos nafshach, even if Hashem remembers. It's very interesting. Look at the word. Afilu hu noitel es nafshech. Even if Hashem is taking your soul. So first of all, that's a great insight. Because when the Muslims are going to come and kill us for our religion, you got to know Hashem is taking your soul. That's number one. There's no such thing as a random Muslim. There's no such thing as a random Hitler. It's hu noitel. It's not even if your soul is being taken. Afilu hu noitel es nafshech. To love Hashem, even if He's taking your life. You know why? Because your life was never separated from Hashem. And after you die, you're still not going to be separated from Hashem. Because you're at one with Hashem. You've been, your soul's been at one with Hashem your whole life. It is Hashem's. So he's just coming back. So He's only taking back what's really His. And you won't get lost in that process. Because you're just going to be shifting from this terrible place called this world. And you're going to go finally back to Olam Hab. So that's parenthetically. But that's not the main thing he's saying here, but it's all part of it. But, you know, so we make a mistake and think that Mesiras Nefesh means you really got to die for Hashem. So it doesn't only mean you have to die for Hashem. There are things that many people feel are worse than death. What does the word Mesira mean? Mesiras Nefesh. So to be Moser means to give over. Right, to give it over. It doesn't mean to lose your soul. It doesn't mean to lose your soul. Serve Hashem tonight, we're going to lose your soul. Just hand it over. What does it mean to hand it over? I'm putting it in somebody else's responsibility. I'm putting it over in someone else's care. You know, let's say you have to put your kid up for adoption. You're not killing your kid. You're giving it over to someone else who could take care of it better if you have to do that. Right? It's giving it over. So what does it mean you're giving over your soul? So b'chol nafshecha means, and this is something that happens every day, something that your nefesh really wants to do. You really, really, really want to do it. It's not just a thought. You know, b'chol levavcha is your thoughts. B'chol nafshecha is something I really, really want. I really want to do it. This is something I've been dreaming of. Like this is the deepest desires. Something I would really invest a lot of effort into. And maybe you have invested a lot of effort into. You know, something you really want, you have to give it up. Right? So, you know, something that, let's say, you are getting addicted to something that you shouldn't be addicted to. Right? So they talk about now in all these modern magazines, you know, this addiction to web porn or things like this, which unfortunately a lot of frum guys are having trouble with this. You know, they just can't, or what's the word they're calling it? What is that? Fooling around via the web, you know, instead of really being actually involved with another woman or man, intimately, really intimately, it's intimately via the computer. You know, there's a word for it, I can't remember it. It's like, I think it's called web sex. you know, get your jollies through the web. You know, people who don't have enough guts to really go out and do it, so they do it that way. And there's all articles, you know, and women find out about this. So they a lot of them divorce the husbands. They feel it's just as being unfaithful. It's a problem. Men more so than women, although women have a problem with it too. But, you know, whatever. Seeing things you shouldn't see, but you really want to. Right? So your nefesh really wants it. You're addicted to it. Your nefesh is attached to it. Right? It's something that you do. You're involved in. So you need to give over this bad aspect of the nefesh and give it back to Hashem and ask Him to get rid of that aspect of the nefesh. Right? You know, if you're involved in an avera, you're involved in an avera, you do the avera steady, and it's coming to before Shani, so you gotta stop it. You gotta stop doing it already. Right? Talk Lashon Hara all the time. Whatever it is. We all have that avera that we just keep repeating. Right? So now your nefesh, your soul is like, it's mamish, it's soaked it in. It's part of what it wants to do. It's part of its nature. And you gotta get rid of it. So you're gonna say, okay, I'm gonna stop doing it. You can't. You can't. You're addicted to it. You cannot stop it. So what I do, you say, okay, God, here's my soul. It's yours. Take it from me. Take it from me. And that, you know, that for many is worse than death. Right? And sometimes we feel that if we give back this yearning for sin back to Hashem, there'll be nothing left of us. You know, and in other words, that's all I really enjoy in life. That's what I really enjoy. It gives me so much pleasure to step on people and destroy them. That's what I live for. You know, I live for sticking my nose into people's business that shouldn't be. I live, you know, that's what my life, or you know, I never make brachas before I eat. So if I'm going to have to start making brachas before I eat, it's going to take all the fun out of eating. You know, or whatever the issue is, you know, if you still are addicted to your clams, you know, to give up the clams, you know, what's life worth living for without a clam? Yeah, whatever. We all have that one thing that we do, you know. I never asked Shilas. If I'd asked the rabbi Shilas, I'd be so embarrassed. I'd feel like I'm a nobody. What do you mean? I'm such a wimp. I have to ask the rabbi what to do. You know, I'll make all my decisions and destroy my life in the process. Right? He says, you know, you can't do that. Whatever it is, but you know, you really want to do it your way, and you gotta, but you know it's wrong. So what you have to do, you have to give your soul to Hashem. Take it back. Hashem, do a repair on it. And I give it over to you, and I'm gonna stop. You, somehow all these desires are in this neshama. Hashem, please take it back. I don't want it. And you'll stop. And, you know, and that's the problem of how we, of what we're supposed to be giving back. And we have to give Hashem that back. In other words, what are we really giving back to Him? Our mistaken view of what happiness is. I mean, why are we doing avers? Because we think they make us happy, right? Why do you say things you shouldn't say? Because I'll make me happy. I'm going to give a cutting line to somebody in public. Oh, everyone's going to think I'm so clever. Right? So now I'm happy because I do that. I'm happy. You know, the only reason you do an avera is because you think it'll make you happy. So you have to give that up to Hashem, and that'll kill you. You know, the biggest thing, the biggest killer is to say you're sorry to people. Yeah, to say you're sorry to people. Because, you know, you do certain things, and maybe someone else will point it out to you, or even somehow your Yetzer Tov points it out to you faintly. You know, you really should apologize for what you did. And the person says, I'd rather die than say I was wrong, and especially to that person. That person's a nobody. Okay, from a big person, maybe I can do it. But a person I know is less than me, right? They think they're less than them, right? Then how could I say I'm sorry to that person? I'd rather die. And many people would rather die than deal with certain issues. So you have to give that to Hashem. You have to give that to Hashem. You know, how about, you know, people who daven a little bit too quickly, right? And if the service in their eye is a little bit too drawn out, it mamish kills them. If I'm going to daven slowly, it will kill me. If I'm going to say every word in the davening, it will literally kill me. You know, I just can't do it, right? So this is how people feel. They're in such a big rush, etc., etc. Or how about a husband who still refuses to take out the garbage? You know, and for me to touch that garbage would be the most disgusting thing in the world, right? Right. So when we don't want to do something, and we have to do it, that is the taste of death. It really is. And the biggest proof is because most people don't do that. To be able to change, people would rather die than change. Would rather die than change, right? Go tell a smoker to stop smoking. He'd rather die. So b'chol nafshecha means that you're willing to give over your life to God. Something that would literally kill you. So we ask Hashem to give you the kayach to do it b'simcha. To give it over with joy. And be happy that God's going to take it off your hands. He wants to take it off your hands. But you have to give it up. You have to give it up. That's the daily b'chol nafshecha. To mamish kill yourself. Because that's really what it is for most people. And you see it. People act so silly. Because they refuse to capitulate to their own deified minds. And they refuse to make any changes. Right? And people tell them to make changes. And I'm not going to make any changes. I'm smarter than everybody else. And you know, and what will it do to my ego if I have to admit that I'm wrong and I have to admit that I need help? Right? People who are alcoholics, people like that, the last thing they want to do is admit that they're wrong. Right? So now there's addiction to drugs, there's addiction to alcohol, there's addiction to gaiva. You're addicted to being arrogant. It's no different addiction. It gets you the same thrill, the same high. Right? You can be addicted to all kinds of that. You have air you haven't gotten rid of, you're still addicted to it. So the only way you're going to get rid of it is you have to be able to be humble enough to say, you know, I need your help, Hashem, you have to take it. And that'll kill you. It'll mamish kill you. People would rather die than admit that they're wrong. And that you have to give to Hashem. You have to die. That's your death. And that's the b'chol nafshecha. Yes, Sam?
Yes, you just said that you have to pray to Hashem to give you the koach to do it by simcha. But the previous paragraph, we just said that we ask Hashem to take back the power he sent us. So
right, so we have to ask him by simcha to take it back.
So if he takes it back,
then I won't
need that power to fight these things?
No, that's the bad power. It's the bad power. The bad power that wants me to do something bad.
So we're talking about taking back the
bad power. Bad power. Get rid of it. But that,
the good
but
power we keep, we don't
but right now we're not seeing any good power. We're seeing bad power. You want to keep eating treif. That's a power. That's a force. The force that says, I like treif. I want treif. I need treif. I live for treif. Right? That's a power. That's a power. And you say, Hashem, take it away from me. Take it away from me.
But you ask him to give you the power.
Give me the simcha to enjoy the fact that I'm giving up control.
So that's a power too, isn't it?
What? To have the simcha? Right, give me the simcha. Give me a new power.
The power.
Give me a new power, a power of simcha.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. But the main thing is get rid of the bad power. That's the real problem.
Because
it's so, that is, listen, the Avera you're stuck on, why are you stuck on that Avera? You know, so many times you do a certain Avera and you know it's wrong. You know it's wrong. And after you do it, you feel bad. But you still keep doing it. Why? Why? Because it's stronger than you, that's all. It beats you up. It's the bully. He beats you up. You know, it's that love-hate relationship you have with your Yetzer. He says, come on and do it. No, I shouldn't do it. Yeah, but it doesn't feel good the second you do it. Yeah, it does. So let's do it. So you do it. And then the minute later, you're saying, why did I do it again? I still have no kayak. I still can't. I have no self-control. I still can't not look at things. I still cannot say things. Stop myself from saying things. Right? So you, what are you? You're powerless. But on the other hand, it will kill me to stop doing it. Right, so you have to ask Hashem, get this narishkeit out of my life. Right, and I have to stop it. And to stop it, you know, you think, how can I live without it? But you can't. You know, just, you know, it's unfortunately so common. It's everybody has that point, right? For certain people, it's, you know, you look at it and you say, it's a Nairish guy. What does the guy see in doing that? I think it's so stupid. But that guy just can't see it otherwise. You know, guys who are addicted to sports, the mom is addicted to sports, they can't give it up. They cannot give it up. Like I said, you know, the NFL is being kind to the addicts now. They've added a whole new aspect to football now. They've added Thursday night into the package. Yeah, now there's Thursday night football. And not only that, but now for years, the holy Monday night football now has a doubleheader. So it's like, you know, why wait till 9 o'clock to watch football already? You know, what a waste. And stay up till 12, you know. I gotta go to work the next day. Fine, we'll give it to you at 7 o'clock. Right? You could watch it while eating dinner. Right? And believe me, they're not doing it unless they feel the ratings would warrant it. Okay? So now, if you like football, you got it made, man. From Thursday night till Monday night. So you only gotta never live through Tuesday, Wednesday, and half of Thursday. Right? You know, Friday night you have high school football and all the goyim, you know, dead kids in high school, they go high school football. Saturday is college football. Sunday is pro football. And now we put Thursday. It's like, mamish, it's like, they can't give it up. You know, go tell a person who really likes sports, right? Go tell someone to give up their season's tickets to the Leafs. Right? They can't. They can't live without it. They don't know. They wouldn't know what to do without watching. They have nothing else to do in their lives. Can you imagine? Get rid of the TV. Stop watching sports. They can't, their mamish can't stop it. Imagine if people knew, put as much time in learning Gemara as they did in watching football, man, it would be Talmid Chachamim. Talmid Chachamim. They can tell you who won the 17th Super Bowl place, Super Bowl 24. They got it mamish straight. Right? The people like that. They mamish it. You know, they could tell you every player on the team. They could tell you every player on the team, and they can't tell you 10 rabbis in the Shas. Right, so go give it up. What am I going to do with my life if I give it up? I have nothing in my life. Right. So Mamash will kill me to do it. So you have to ask Hashem, take it away. Take it away. I don't want it anymore. Right. These are all the things how we have to kill ourselves every day for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's what we call Nafshecha. Okay, V'chol Maidecha. What's with all your money? V'chol Mamonka, with all your money. Even the sparks of a person, the distant sparks of a person that spread forth to his money, meaning to say that there is a spiritual connection between a person and what he owns. Right, there is, more talks about this. You know, you own certain things, it has a certain charm. Because you made it, you bought it. Right? People do have a natural connection to their money to the point where the Gemara asks, if you already said, you know, b'chol nafshcha, even if Hashem is going to take your life, what do you got to say, b'chol mo'adecha, and your money? It's kind of a downer after your life. The answer is that people value their money more than their lives. Right? We know that. Right? They spend their life making money. So what's left to your life? Nothing. Right? They value them, and they'll risk their lives for it. Right? So why? Why? It doesn't make any sense. Because a person has a certain connection with what he possesses. And for many people, it's very difficult for them to part with their money. It's very difficult for them to give tzedakah. Very difficult to give 10% of their money to tzedakah. That's going to seriously implicate the extent of their RSPs. Or whatever else. So even those sparks of that wealth that a person has, right? Who roseim, he harnesses it, la'ahava, in love, ula'achlusim, with unity, imabari, with the Almighty. Meaning to say, if you're at one, this whole idea is if you can share this all with Hashem, right? So just like all your thoughts, b'chol levavcha, you're sharing all your thoughts with Hashem, and you're saying, Hashem, can you get these rotten thoughts out of my mind? Because he's right here with you. He can do, he's right there. And all your yearnings and the things you mamish can't see how you're going to live without them. It's going to kill you. You're going to say, Hashem, can you please get me into rehab? So then you got to look at the money you have. And you got to ask yourself a very simple question. Right? Who gave me this money? I made this money without Hashem? You out of your mind? You think you made your money without Hashem? You made every penny. Hashem gave you every penny. And you just were a monkey going through the motions. That's all. He gave you every single penny. So then ask yourself another question. Why did he give you so many pennies? Right? Did you need to buy cable with that money that he gave you? So you could see even, you know, more Mishigasim that he doesn't want you to see? You had to buy this, you had to buy that. That's what you had to do with all that money. That's what. So if you're at one with that, you got to share. Got to share. Give the money back to Hashem too. And we're not saying a vow of poverty. We're not talking about that at all. We're talking about, you know, you got to spend the money the way Hashem wants you to spend the money, because it's His money. It's not your money. It's His money. So everything you buy, you got to think twice. So what am I buying this for? That doesn't mean to say, yeah, you can buy food for dinner. Hashem wants you to eat dinner. He wants you. It's a commandment. You have to eat dinner. Okay, I'm spending money on my dinner because you told me that I got to do it. Okay, then the question is, so how much money you got to spend on dinner? Well, I decided to go to a restaurant that charges $150 a plate. I'm going to spend $300 on dinner. Why? Because it's our anniversary. So that's a reason to blow money? Because it's your anniversary, you flush the money down the toilet. So a person with a white glove will give it to you. I'm not saying you can't go out to dinner. You got to go to the most expensive place. Why? It's classy, stylish. What is it? Does it serve you different food? Yeah, it's unbelievably different. Well, how's it different? Right? A piece of meat's a piece of meat. Right? If anything, the fancy places charge you 10 times more and give you a third of the portion. That shows you how fancy it is. It's going to be so good, you only have to eat a little bit. Man, people are so stupid to believe it. You know, I pay money. Just give me a full plate at least. I came here to eat. At home, my wife gives me a full plate. I have to pay three times the price to get a third of a plate. No, this is called fancy. I remember. Yeah. It's unbelievable. Okay, you got to get older to understand these ideas. You know, so it's our anniversary. What the heck? I love my wife. I'll show how much I love. Look how much money I can waste on you, dear. So you got to ask Hashem, are you allowed to do that? It's a shiloh. You have to ask shilohs about these things. I gave you the money. Well, it doesn't matter. I got another $50,000 I can waste. Hashem's gonna, when it's gonna come to judgment day, it's gonna ask on every single penny you spent. Boy, if you were afraid of Revenue Canada doing an audit, wait till Hashem audits you. Wait till Hashem gives you an audit. Oh, you're gonna come up with some good excuses. You know, and what he's gonna sue you for. Right? You gotta be careful. Okay, you know, don't be neurotic about it. You know, you lost a nickel, you know. But I'm saying that there's major things we spend money on. We spend money on major toys, you know, adult male toys, major money, and all say, yeah, it's for Kiruv, you know. Once a year you take someone on your boat, you justify, or whatever. You know, really, you want to play with your boat, because it's a status. But yeah, once in a while, you'll take some, going to buy a giant house, I'm going to make it for Kiruv. Yeah, you know, I see all the big houses people use for Kiruv. Yeah, once in a blue moon, they use it for Kiruv. But really, they enjoy the status of a big house. Two people in 10,000 square feet. They did it for Kiruv. Nice. Then you go to them for donations. Sorry, I'm all tapped out. You are tapped out, right? You're tapped out with your Yetzer Hara. So you got to give it back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You got to tell Hashem, please take it away from me. It's yours. It hasn't done me that much good either. Right, next page. Im adam eino machazer es kol hirurei alev. A person doesn't give back all those fleeting thoughts. Es kol levavacha, your whole heart. It's etzah nefesh, the essence of your soul that's been corrupted and wants the things it shouldn't want. And if you can't give back the most distant thing, which is your money, which really should be the easiest thing to get rid of. The most distant force is within the person. If you can't do that, guess what, my friends? It should be an extra yud there. Who adayin lo zocha lahagil madregas v'hafta. He has not yet reached the levels of loving Hashem. And if you think you love Hashem, you don't know what love means. You don't know what love means. Love means everything we're doing together. We're doing it all together. So you go with Hashem, and you're going to spend together with Him something for an extra $50,000 you don't need. So go talk it over to Hashem before you make that decision. But I really want it. Hashem, can you maybe take this mishigas feeling away? So I won't really want it so much. Those are the things. So Yizakenu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem should help us. Shatfilat tia kli amiti Liskash b'chol ramach averenu v'shasag yidenu l'borei yisparach lios k'roi melo b'mes. So Hashem should give us merit that our prayers, and this is what the prayer is all about. Your prayers are that Hashem should help us. Right? So our prayer should be a true utensil. Remember we said it's the utensil to pass the water from one. How do you get rid of it? That's what we mentioned, talked about yesterday. How can I get rid of it? It's through talking to Hashem. That's the prayer. And if it's a true utensil that's going to really connect ourselves to Hashem, it will get rid of this stuff. You have to hope that Hashem helps us. So that's what Shuvu Banim Shovavim really means. Shuvu Banim. Children return, Shovavim. The backsliding children return. It means that we should send back everything in our life. Why? Because that way we have reconnected everything back to Hashem. And that's true Ava. That's true love, being at one with Hashem at all times. So I heard a story about Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. The story goes like this. He was a big rabbi, elderly rabbi, right? So he's and in Eretz Yisrael, even big rabbis take buses, believe it or not. Even big rabbis take buses. So Shlomo Zalman, he's on the bus. He's sitting on a bus, and one of his students is also on the bus, whatever. And the bus stop goes to a stop, and a very not sneeze woman gets on the bus and sits right next to Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Go figure that one. You know, right? It's like such a contrast. I mean, you're like, what? So what happens? So like 2 seconds later, the bus moves on. Like immediately, Shlomo Zalman he pulls the cord to ring the bell. And he gets off at the next stop. It's not his stop. He gets off at the next stop. And a bacher who was near him, whatever, he saw he's getting off. So he follows him out. Right? And so he asks Rav Shlomo Zalman, why, he understood why Rav Shlomo Zalman did this. He said, Rebbe, I don't understand why you did this. You know, you could have just changed your seat. You know, you could have just moved to another seat, or you know what? I would have asked the lady to move. But now you're going to get off. You have to wait for the next bus. And you know, your time's precious. So what did Rav Shlomo Zalman say? He says, listen, if we would have done any of those things, it would have insulted her. You know? And I saw there was no other etzah but to do that. In other words, Hashem's ratzon was, I should get off the bus. That's all. So what's the difference? I'm doing Hashem's Ratzon all day long anyway. So just when I'm giving an amazing shiur and there's hundreds of students listening to me, it's the Ratzon Hashem. Ratzon Hashem is just get off the bus. Right? So you know, to have that presence of mind to make those split decisions like that, you know, that's a gadol, right? So Shlomo Zalman, you know, he's living in the world of Echad. Right? And he realizes that I'm with Hashem, and I got to fulfill my ben adam l'makom, ben adam l'chavero, between me and Hashem, between me and man. It's all one thing, right? So he only knows one thing: what's going to make Hashem happiest? That's how I make my decisions. What? Because Hashem's right. Hashem was sitting with him on the bus till the lady came on. So Hashem still didn't get off the bus. So he has to. What's going to make Hashem happy over here? The most. So now, you know what, nobody can do that unless you were thinking about Hashem before the lady got on the bus. You're thinking about Hashem the whole day, okay, then the decision's a lot easier. If you're not thinking about Hashem, then you think about a million other things, then you don't have the presence of mind to make those kinds of decisions.
So why can't we ask the question of Lifnei Iver, about Titei Mirshal, that by a gadol Israeli buses are filled with nuts, these women should get on a bus in the first place? It's going to happen any bus on any given day.
No, I mean, why should a gadol get on any bus with not sneistic women?
No. Gadolim should have a okay.
You know what? Because you know what?
I'm not criticizing.
First of all, you know what? Gadolim aren't as respected as you think they are, and not everybody wants to drive a gadol around. And the truth is, they know how to control their eyes. And you get on the bus, you know. And Mistama, it was the kind of bus that usually there aren't not sneistic women. I mean, I can imagine that the route Rav Shlomo Zalman takes from his yeshiva to his house is probably a pretty frum neighborhood. It's probably not that likely that they were not from his mazel. She got on the bus. Whatever. I can't get it. You know, you got to live with a bus. You know, there aren't people to take you around all the time. Doesn't always work out that way. What's the big deal? You know, the bus maybe leaves from his house and goes right to the yeshiva. So why shouldn't he take the bus? What's the difference? What's wrong with taking a bus? Is your Adam Gadol? Are you thinking of Hashem any less when you're on the bus?
Obviously
it doesn't matter where. What?
Obviously
No, but it's right. It's not like.
It's
not like he's looking around the bus. It's not like he's looking around the bus.
But you're assuming what happened to him is a negative experience. What?
You know, listen, if a narcissistic sits right next to you, you know, it's like you can't, you know, the woman was Hashem. Okay, fine. Was Hashem's agent. Or the Yetzirah's agent. Whoever's agent. Okay, don't over-touch a story, you know. I know then you guys, well, if there was a bucker with him, why wasn't the bucker? So, don't ask a million questions on the story. You gotta get the idea from the story. The idea from the story is you're trying to please Hashem. And you're with Hashem all the time. And that's the point of the story. That's the beauty of the story. All right, so that ends this chapter. And now we move on to another most difficult chapter. Perek Tezayin, 16, which is the topic of Yira, fear. And first subcategory is Yira Hashem Vavaso, fearing Hashem and loving Him. So now, Nisbarat ko shiba'ovan klal yeshem arba shlovim. So now he gives a quick recap, as he does in every chapter. So, explain until now, four levels. Alright, let's remind ourselves. We're deep into the Sefer, and you can forget what we started with. So Aleph, Zechira Sheish Barim, remembering there is a creator. Right? That's the first task that takes you a couple of years. Beis, Hakara B'chush HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nitzav Li'Adav. Then the next couple of years, to literally sense that Hashem is sitting right next to you. Standing right next to you. Number three, Emunah Bashkacha Pratis, really believing in God's divine role in your life. And Dalet, Tefillah Al Kol Prat U'Prat U'Mahalachayim, and davening on every single detail in your life. Those are the four principles we've worked on up to this point. Now, HaTefillah Gam Hi Benuya Al Yesoid She'Adam Tzarech Lochish Esbar Elam Karev Lev. Really, prayer is founded on the principle that a person should feel that Hashem is close to him. Amnam, the dover is that. But in this area, Seder Havoda Eina Muchlat, the order of service isn't absolute. Meaning to say, it could change from person to person. What does he mean? Yesh, that's another typo, yeah. Yesh, etzrichim, liskor, kaitim, sheish, barayim. They're those who first need to remember there is a creator. V'yesh, hashkacha pratis. And there is hashkacha pratis. L'hispal, barayim. To pray to God. And then it's easy for them to know that Hashem is next to them. So for them, you go from step one to step three and four, and then you go back to step two. For some, it works better for them that way. If I keep believing Hashem's Hashkacha Pratis, and I keep davening, you know what? Then I'll feel that Hashem is next to me. Okay. And this obviously order is differently. So, okay, you know, even though we're building a structure, and there's a certain order to the structure, and clearly these four parts have to all be solid before we're going to part five. Okay? But, you know, within the four parts, okay, part one, to know there's a creator, you know, to remember Hashem all the time, you gotta have that first. He can't not have that first. But then, the Dafka, he has to be sitting next to you, is the next step. Well, love Dafka, if you really believe he's running your life, and you've done all the exercises for running your life, and you're davening all the time. So maybe for you, then to know he's next to you will come easier. All right. So that we can, you know, let things, you don't have to be so hung up on the order. But now we're coming to the next step where it's going to be a similar concept. Hashalav haba, shalavoda, hu inyan ha'ava vayira. The next two steps have to be love and fear. Vigam kan, and here too, the Seder Hakdamas Advarim, in the order of what to do first, Avo Yira, love or fear, Matsinabaf and Klali Shtei Drachim Shadarchim and Rosenu. There are two general paths that our great rabbis have tread on. In other words, there's two ways, and they're both acceptable. How do we see this? Nemer Bapasik, it says in Tehillim, Sur Meira Va'aseitov. Sur Meira, stay away from evil, Va'aseitov, and do good. Okay, so what do you see David HaMelech telling you? The pasuk prefaces, stay away from evil, before one is able to do good. And the simplicity of that is, how do you usually stay away from evil? It's through fear. Fear keeps you away from evil, generally. And doing good comes out of love. That's what should come out of love. So the pasuk is telling, like the Ramban says on his commentary on the Torah of Shomer v'zocher b'dibur echad, Shomer v'zocher by Shabbos, right? Guard and remember the Shabbos. Ki midas zocher ramzu b'mitzvahs aseh, the zocher reminds us of positive mitzvahs. V'hayoytze b'midas avu, that comes out of love. V'hu l'midas harachem, and that relates to the attribute of compassion. Someone who does mitzvahs, right, is beloved to God. Hashem has compassion on him. So that's all zohar. But amida shamar guarding, gotta watch out not to do the negatives. That comes in the attribute of justice. That comes from fear. Someone who watches out from doing bad things that his master doesn't want must be because he fears him. So you know, Ramban clearly shows you. Shomer v'zocher, shomer and then zocher, right? Sumei rav asei tov. Okay, so don't do bad and then do good. So yira comes before ava. That seems to be the pasuk shot. Next page, imke. Therefore, ha pasuk makdim es hayira le'ava. The pasuk prefaces fear before love. Okay, now derech shadarcha bo chelek migdolei doros. So the path that part of the great rabbis of the past generations, specifically those of the Musar movement, Rabbi Saul Salanter et al. You start with the fear and then the love. And that's one school of thought. However, on the other hand, you do a hapshat shel Baal Shem Tov, the pasuk, Sur Meirav Asei Tov. The Baal Shem Tov has his interpretation of the pasuk of Sur Meirav Asei Tov. The Hasidic way of looking at the pasuk is the following. Sur Meira, stay away from evil. Ketzad Tov Sur Meira, how can you stay away from evil? Huh? I see as a tov by doing the good. Sur meira, stay away from evil. How? Vasei tov, by doing good. That's how he learns the pshat. The way to stay away from evil is by doing good. Eitzel, sur meira, the advice. How do you stay away from bad? Keep doing good things. Klomer, nitan lagiel ira leava, you can reach fear out of love. Right, you know, in other words, you know, a person who's busy doing good things hasn't got time to think about doing bad things. You know, when do we do bad things? We got a lot of time to think. So if you're busy doing mitzvahs, who's got time to think to do an avera? So sur meira through vasei tov. Right? So basically, what is this? You know, this is the difference between the Hasidic and the non-Hasidic approach. Right? The Hasidic approach starts with love. Then you'll come to fear. The non-chassidic approaches start with fear, then you come to love. And you see this in yeshivas, like that as well. Yeshivas with lots of rules. And then when we have all those rules, then maybe you can learn something. And maybe you can begin to love being a Jew, which usually doesn't happen. Right? Because why? Because you're too bogged down in making sure the rules are kept. You don't have time to get to the love. Right? Or a place that starts with the love. You know, and gives boys a little bit more freedom, as it were. You know, and not to get so hung up on the rules. You know, generally the latter should work, but you got to be careful. The ones that do a lot of love, things get out of hand. We love them so much, and we don't look at any rules, and all the kids are on drugs. It doesn't work out either. It is a happy yeshiva, but it's not the kind of happiness we're looking for. Right? So, you know, it's dangerous path. Both ways are dangerous if you don't follow one after the other. Right? So this explains a lot of things, you know, the difference between Hillel and Shammai, you know, by the Ner Chanukah, where Shammai says you go from 8 to 1, and Hillel says you go from 1 to 8. Right? Going from 8 to 1. 8 to 1 means, what is fire? Fire can illuminate, fire can extinguish. Right? So Hillel's saying you should go from 8 to 1. 8, look how bad things are. There's 8 koichas of Ra. And the candle should consume them. So go down from 8 to 1. That's Yira. That's fear. Hillel says, no, you go from 1 to 8. The love increases. It increases. You know, these are all the differences you find throughout throughout the Torah between Yaakov and Yosef, as to who's supposed to get the bracha, better bracha between Ephraim and Menashe. Right? Menashe was more of the Sur Meira fellow. He was the Bechor. He was in Egypt more. He was more homebred. And he had to really resist more of what's going on in Egypt. While Ephraim, you know, had more time to learn Torah, was the next kid, and was able to be the Asei Tov fellow. Right. And Yosef, he's the tzaddik. He's tzaddik Yisod Olam. Yosef is a Sur Meira man. He's fierce. How did he survive in Egypt? He had a mamish fear. Right? So he says, you know, I'm going to put the two in a front. Menashe should be the Bechor. He should come first. What was Yosef saying? That Menashe should be first. First Sur Meira, then Ephraim should get the bracha, then Asei Tov. Right? And Yaakov switched the hands. So Yosef thought his father made a mistake. And Yaakov said, no, you gotta understand, now things have changed. There's a new way. We gotta go with the Asei Tov first. So the Chassidim learned that pshat. Now, you get certain times where, yeah, there's a time you have to Sur Meira. And Taka Yosef, when you were the only guy there, your mom had to be Sur Meira. But now that the Mishpacha is here and we're trying to grow in Mitzrayim, it's got to be Asei Tov. In order not to assimilate, we can't live with Sur Meira all the time. You know, we got to Asei Tov. The time has changed. And that's to say, before the times of Mashiach, it has to switch. It has to switch to Asei Tov. Right? So that becomes that basic difference. So you have two ways. So that's what he's saying. He's saying these are the two ways. These are the two ways we have to work on, and it could go either way. But the main thing we're going to discuss tomorrow, and that's going to be the balance of the chapter, is what this Yira is all about. Which Hashem will talk about tomorrow.